This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parr Mellison Associates. This week, we're going to cover a couple of different topics, but they all start with the same question. Should I create a new entity for? And is it a new location? Is it a new department? Is it a new holding company? There is a lot of different situations. And depending on your situations and what you're trying to achieve here, the answer could be drastically different. And like the title of this episode entails, is my new entity costing me money? Some of you guys are out there thinking that you have a new entity protecting yourselves, and it's actually doing the exact opposite. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmellis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions, is now available on Amazon.com for paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to me about services Parr Mellis offers auto repair shops like yours? Shoot us an email at info@parmellis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to hire top talent for your top shop, give ProMotive a call. If you need to get your back office and parts reconciliation straight, give Wicked File a call. If you need to get your shop moving in the right direction, give Maverick Shop Owners a call. And if you need to get your marketing kicked into the right gear, give Overdrive Marketing a call today. Great news. You now have a hiring partner to help you with the heavy lifting of hiring your next superstar. Introducing ProMotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business, that's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. What happened if you knew next week's car count before it happened? Overdrive combines real marketing leadership with AI-powered campaigns through Overdrive OS. It predicts slowdowns, it launches offers, and tracks your ROI automatically. Stop guessing, start controlling growth, and visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. When it comes down to deciding if you should create a new entity for fill in the blank, you really need to address three different questions. The first of which is legal liability. This is probably what you guys are chasing the most. The whole reason that you set up an LLC, this whole reason you set up a corporation is to separate your legal liability personally. I went out, I started Hunt's Auto Repair LLC. If someone comes into Hunt's Auto Repair LLC and they sue them, can they take my personal property? No, right? That's the point of an LLC. Now, a lot of you guys say, if I'm going to go start a new location, if I'm going to go do a rental LLC, I'm going to get the same legal protection without thinking of any of the pitfalls. So we got to make sure that we're getting the legal liability that we think. Next thing on this is tax implications. That's great that you're protecting yourself from some unknown legal liability out there, but what if it's costing you real tax dollars every single year? What we're trying to look for is a solution, gives us legal protection if we need it, and also doesn't negatively impact us on taxes and hopefully saves us some money. And the last one is a kind of combination of the two of those, but an overall analysis of the entire situation. We are trying to get legal protection. If we get legal protection, I'm willing to pay a cost to that. If we are going to get some tax savings on it, I'm willing to have a cost for that as well. But if it's not going to give me any legal liability protection, if it's not going to save me money in taxes and possibly cost me, then is there really any savings at all? And does it make sense? Is this going to protect us? What is this going to do to save us from Uncle Sam? And then if we look at the entire kind of offering of it and say, wait, does this make sense? To look at the way these change, depending on what your situation is, we're really going to look at like three situations. And I'll call it 3.5 because there's a bonus one in there for you. But the first one we're going to talk about is the most common one. It is the most common question that I get about setting up a new entity. It is, Hunt, I am going to go start a new location. There's one thing that I forgot to mention earlier about this that is very important on this, and this is sometimes a non-starter for you guys, is ownership. If the new entity or the new location is going to have the same ownership as the existing location, then you have options. You can choose to start a new entity or you can choose to combine them in the existing one. But a great example of this, I just had this phone call the other day where this person's kind of maybe the reason why I did this episode. I'll give you credit for it. He called me up and he said, hey, trying to start another location on it. I want my second in command as general manager to own 10% of it. Do you think we should start a new entity or run it through our existing one? In this situation, if you have one location, if you have two locations, you have three locations, and you want to add another one with dissimilar ownership percentages, you have two different choices. You can start a new entity on that that's going to have a different ownership structure, not going to have to change the existing one whatsoever. That is really the only option that you can do unless you want to give that person equity ownership in your existing one as well. The ownership has to be exactly the same. If the ownership is different, then you're starting a new entity no matter what, because you can't have dissimilar ownership interest in one entity. I can't have a conglomerate of three shops and say, Steve's going to get this much of this one, Gray's going to get this much of this one, and I'm going to get this much of this one. There's ways to break it down in a partnership, but more or less, this is only for common ownership. I'm not going to keep on repeating that because it's going to be the same in every other situation if you're trying to do a rental property on it. Only works with common ownership. The last one on here, management company, is a little bit different, but we will talk about that when it comes up. Really, the big one on here has to do with legal liability. I got location one, I got location two. If they are all one combined unit, then it doesn't take a lawyer to figure this out. If one gets sued, they're both getting sued. If you have north location and south location, all one combined enterprise, all one LLC, all one corporation, from a litigation standpoint, there is no differences. You have two buildings, you have two different places that you rent, but it's all one umbrella. However, if you were to go and say, I have Hunt's Auto Repair, Inc. North, and I have Hunt's Auto Repair, Inc. South, those are two separate entities. If the guys in my north location forgot the lug nuts in our car, yes, they can sue that location. Yes, if we screwed up, they can get a lot of stuff from there. But if you do this stuff correctly, you are not going to have the legal liability on your other location. This is the biggest thing that you guys are trying to achieve. Before we go any further on this, before you try to take the advice of a CPA talking in a closet on a podcast, you should check with your lawyer to actually see if you're getting any of this legal liability protection. I'll be honest with you, it's probably a personal preference thing. Some lawyers come out and say, hey, don't like the idea. Some lawyers came out and say, I love the idea. This is probably going to change depending on what state you're in. This is probably also going to change based on your risk appetite. If you are never one to worry about anything ever, you can buy so much insurance, you can set up so many entities, but what is going to be the cost of that? And this is really what it's going to come down to, is how much is this going to cost to get me what kind of legal protection? What am I going to have to do in order to keep that legal protection? And what is the cost of all of that stuff? Tax implications on this, more or less, don't really matter that much. I know someone's going to shoot me an email, hun, if you have an S corporation, one has basis, the other one doesn't have basis, you could have a situation where it's going to cost you tax money. What I'm going to tell you is if you have a decent CPA on this, having one entity or two is not going to be a big deal. Are there issues that we have to do a little bit more work to make sure that our clients doesn't have profit on one and loss we can't take on the other? Yes. But come on, guys, you can get creative. There is ways to mess around with this stuff so that there's really no negative tax implications on this. Overall, what this really comes down to is the cost of how much this legal protection is going to really cost you. There is no way to really have savings if you open a second entity for a new location. Really, on the other side of it is like, if I want to have a completely separate entity for this new location, how much legal protection does my lawyer think that this is going to get? Am I going to follow this to the T? If I have customers swapping back and forth, if I have employees swapping back and forth, they're probably going to break that court prevail and sue both of them anyways. The biggest thing that I tell people is there is a lot of savings to be had of running this all through one entity. one tax return, one QuickBooks file, one insurance on this, right? You kind of get the idea. Now, if someone comes to me and they say, Hunt, what would you do? Would you do a combined entity or would you do a separate one? It's just not that simple. No two situations are the same. But really, when you look down to it and you start running the numbers, for a lot of people, the decision is pretty clear. And again, this is like a spectrum, but where I would stand on the spectrum is if you have two locations, they're in the same part of town, you're going to share customers, you have employees working at both places on it, I would be more skewed to having this under one entity because I think it's going to be hard to keep those two separate no matter what. If I had two locations and they were in separate states or not even close, I don't share customers, I don't share employees on it, I would have a much larger swing to go the opposite direction and have two separate entities. But again, do your own research, talk to your lawyer, talk to your CPA, see what makes the most sense for you. I want to make sure that you are getting the implied or the alleged legal protection that you think you are and not just paying the cost associated with it. Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Most shops don't have a marketing problem. They have a systems problem. Overdrive.os was built to solve that. It's not another vendor. It's your AI-powered marketing operating system built specifically for auto repair shop. It predicts slow weeks before they happen, automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns, tracks ROI down to the dollar, and optimizes performance in real time. No guesswork, no wasted ad spend, no hope marketing, just predictable car count, stronger retention, and measurable profitability. Schedule a strategy call today and let's build your growth engine. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. The next one is probably a combination of two most commonly asked questions, but I'm going to start with the first one. Hunt, I'm planning on renting the building to myself, or Hunt, I have already bought my building. Hunt, I'm planning on buying my building. But all of this has to do with a self-rental. If you are planning to buy your building or you own your building and you own it personally, you probably are asking this question because you're concerned about the legal protection. One of the things that we preach all the time is there is no reason to ever own really your business either, but your real estate, your business real estate in your personal name. The biggest reason that we are concerned about that is just like we talked about with the entities, whether you have one, two, six entities, you guys are pretty good at protecting yourselves there. However, did you know that if you own your commercial real estate in your personal name and someone slips and falls in your parking lot, you could have a massive liability? what most people do to protect themselves on this is, just like on a business, they create an LLC and they put their rental real estate into that LLC. Very, very quick and easy to do in almost all states on this. If you are the sole owner of your real estate, there is not generally a whole lot of cost of transferring it to an LLC solely owned by you. If you own a joint with your spouse on it, again, this is not a major issue. Are you going to spend some money? Are you going to do a little bit of research? Yes. Is this a one-time thing that you will only have to do once and never worry about again? Also, yes. From a tax perspective, this is even better because it doesn't matter. Whether you have an LLC that owns your real estate or you own it personally, it's going to look the same on your tax return. It's not going to save you any money. It's not going to cost you any money. Have a lawyer do this. You're only going to do this once. Spend $500, spend $1,000. But really, if you wanted to, you could do this extremely cheap. If you were to transfer this into an LLC, you now give yourself extremely good legal protection for virtually all sort of lawsuits. We don't have any sort of tax implications on it. Do you think that this is a no-brainer for almost every single shop out there? Yes, absolutely. If you own a commercial real estate, get that into an LLC. No-brainer. What I want to talk about here, and the reason why I put this no-brainer one in here, is a lot of people equate this to your loaner car fleet as well. Very similar idea to renting a real estate from yourself. A lot of you guys have a loaner car or loaner car fleet, and you're thinking to yourself, Hunt, I don't want my knucklehead customer crashing his loaner car into the front of a storefront and then having them come back and sue my shop. I'm going to go out there just like I did for my rental real estate. I'm going to set up a separate LLC, going to pay rent to the other entity, and everything is going to be good. This is not as much of a no-brainer, and arguably it's almost the exact opposite than the rental real estate. The reason why the rental real estate is so quick and easy and a no-brainer is one-time expense, giving ourselves increased legal liability in perpetuity with zero downside or zero cost. Who would ever choose to not do that? If you are doing it for the rental car LLC, you do have a couple different tax implications. The first of which is, since you are renting personal property to yourself, in most states, if you have sales tax, you are going to have to charge yourself sales tax for renting of those vehicles. Even more so, since you are doing short-term vehicle rentals, some states also have an additional vehicle rental excise tax. You might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, I don't want to do this. We're aggressive, so we're just not going to charge this stuff to ourselves. The whole idea that you're doing this is for legal protection. If you were to get sued, do you think a lawyer is going to look at this and say, they're not even a real business? They're not charging themselves market value for the repairs. The rental car company is not even paying for its own gas. They're not even charging themselves sales tax or vehicle rental excise tax like an unrelated party would. If you are going to do this stuff, guys, and I get it, some of you guys have had some horrific issues with the loaner cars. If you are going to do this, you need to do it correctly. There is very easy ways to screw this up with self-dealing. If you're saying to yourself, well, Hunt, how do I operate this rental car LLC and not get kind of popped for self-dealing or non-compliance? Whenever you run out of rental car LLC, pretend that you don't also own the shop. It makes all of those questions very, very easy to answer. Well, Hunt, how much should I charge my rental car company or vice versa? Well, hey, if someone unrelated come to you, what would you charge? Well, how much should I charge a rental car company for repairing the vehicles? Again, same exact question. So the last one on here is kind of a tricky one. And for a lot of you guys, you might be saying, Hunt, don't even know what that is, don't care, but got to put this in there for a couple of you guys that have asked about it. The last one that people talk about is a management company. Whether you have one location, this is generally for my multi-location clients. You got 3 to 5 locations. There's shared expenses. There's shared corporate expenses. There's shared payroll expenses. And you want to start a management company to start splitting out those expenses. Where you start on this, and if this is on your radar, probably goes back to that first thing I just said. How many locations do you have? If you have 1 or 2 locations, it probably doesn't make sense to do a management company. There are ways to kind of track that in QuickBooks with a different class or management fees and things like that. Once you get to kind of a corporate model where it's paying some sort of management fee or corporate expenses on it, you know, 3, 5 plus locations, it is very common to have a management company. This is always going to be a separate entity. Ownership doesn't make any difference. Really, the biggest thing that I talk about for a management company is structure. Some people have an S corporation and then another S corporation serves as a management company. That is probably the most common thing out there. all that does is kind of splits over the financials and it goes on to a separate tax return. We're not really concerned that much about the liability because the management company is not really doing anything. Maybe it's the common paymaster. That splits everything out from an optics perspective, but from a separation, it really doesn't. If you have four different S corporations, all with the same ownership on it, you have to do the same thing for benefits. You have to do the same thing for retirement. Whether you're an owner or an employee, doesn't matter. Separate LLCs, they say, you guys own all of them. Brother, sister, subsidiary relationship. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. The reason I talk about this is sometimes the reason people set up a management company is to give out a bunch of really sweet benefits to the owners. We know that for your shop or any business out there, you cannot be discriminatory on your benefits. If you want to offer that for you, you need to offer that for your team, highly compensated employees, everything else. The most common way to get around this is to set up a management company that is a C corporation. Almost all of you guys listening to this are LLCs, taxes, and S corporation. A C corporation is a bit different. But if you're trying to set up a management company, you want to set up some type of crazy retirement account, some type of crazy medical reimbursement account on there, you're going to be setting up a separate entity, and that's going to be a C corporation. Think that might sound like something that you're trying to do? Well, reach out to me. Reach out to your accountant. There are strategies out there, and maybe this just changed your mind on a couple of different things that you're trying to do. Is this meant to give you all the answers? No. This is meant to get you to ask the right questions to me, if I'm your accountant, or to someone else. You need to be asking your professionals. Talk to your accountant, talk to your lawyer. The trickier part about all of this is it's going to have a different cost-benefit analysis for each of you. It's going to have a different one for your friend. It's going to have a different one in state. And what's the right choice for you might be not the right choice for the guy down the street. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Looking for an easier way to catch a show and learn more from the Automotive Repair Podcast Network? Just go to arpn.app. That's arpn.app and download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, read show notes, and watch videos when available. So thanks again for joining on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.